Welcome to Ecclesia Principles, a biblical strategy for restoring America, with your host, Ray Eppert.
With us today, and we are talking about Ecclesia Principles. Ecclesia is the Greek word that's in Matthew 16, 18, where Jesus said, I will build my church. The Greek word there is Ecclesia. And it isn't really dealing with simply an assembly. It's not simply a called out group. In the day and time in which Jesus said that, the ecclesia identified an assembly that was called out to vote on the issues for the culture for that time. And so Jesus said, I will build my church. And what we're doing right now is we're looking at a number of things from Scripture that deal with what God says about government. This is an area that has largely been left untouched in the church world. I'm not saying it's been entirely untouched, but it has been largely untouched and not dealt with as far as what God says about government and actually how he worked through government. There's so many people in the Bible that we know of as the heroes of the Bible that we don't even think of them in the terms of their governmental positions, but they had them. And actually in many cases, like we looked at Joseph the other week, that God put him there in that position for just that reason. And today, I want to look at another person and a phrase that is so often used. I mean, it is a phrase that is loved by so many of us in the church that we understand it inaccurately. We understand it inaccurately. Now, there's an element of truth in our understanding. I'm not saying it's totally wrong, but it's more wrong than right. And today what I want to talk about is Esther. Esther, the story of Esther. The Medes and Persians had replaced the Babylonians as the empire of the world. The torch of power in the world what was the Medes and Persians at this time. And Esther had been put in as queen. And the king had banished his former wife. Esther got selected for that position. And then Haman, who had a governmental position, hated her uncle Mordecai, and there was animosity there. And so he begins to drive a narrative to attack the Jews and to destroy the Jews. And Mordecai brings this issue up to Esther. And the famous verse that is so often referenced in that conversation between Mordecai and his niece Esther is this: For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place. But you and your father's house will perish. Now, here's the key phrase. Yet, who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Now, our basic understanding is that, and the way it's used in today's time, is the kingdom of God. We've come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Well, I do believe that we're living in a time and we were designed for this time. God planned for us to be here in this time. And it is appropriate that we are a part of the kingdom of God for this time. But that's not what Mordecai was talking about. Mordecai was not talking about the kingdom of God. He wasn't telling Esther, you've come to the kingdom of God for such a time as this. What he was telling her is that basically, and I'll give you what I call the Eppert paraphrase, Esther, God has put you in this position, in this kingdom, in this empire. You have a position of favor. God has raised you up, and it may be that he did it just so you would be in a position to bring deliverance to the Jews. Now, one of the phrases that I have used, and I want to repeat it here again now, something that we have missed because we have not dealt with the scripture in regard to government is that frequently God brings deliverance and victory to his people through people in governmental positions. He did it with Joseph. He did it with Moses. He did it with Esther. So frequently, he works through that process of putting someone in a government position so that they're in a place that, if you would, what governments are for is to manage the systems of a nation, that they can have an impact on the systems of that nation to bring about freedom, victory, deliverance, whatever it is that is needed for God's people. This is how God works. Psalms 103:7 tells us that God showed his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. This is the way God works. We need to know more than just what God does as far as God brings deliverance. We need to also understand the way that he does it. And frequently, the way he does it for a group of people, I'm not talking about just individually, though he can do it that way individually as well, but when a large group of his people need freedom, need victory, need deliverance, very frequently God brings that through having someone in a governmental position to affect the processes and the systems of that government. Stay with us through this message and we'll be right back.
Jesus said, I will build my church or ecclesia. Ecclesia identified those who were called out to vote on issues that determine their culture. Jesus expects us to positively influence our culture with equality, liberty, and justice for all.
We're back, and we're talking about how God often, frequently brings freedom, deliverance, and victory to his people. And that is, very frequently, it does come through someone that God places in a governmental position. Again, most of the time when we're reading through the Bible, we miss that piece. We are just looking at what God did, not the way he did it. And we have to not just look at what he does, but the way he does it. Now, I want to shift gears just a little bit right now. We're still in that same vein, but I want to take it up another notch as far as understanding. You know, we're here in November, and Christmas is coming. It's hard to believe how quickly time has flown by. But with that, I want to read a passage of scripture that you will be hearing over the course of these next 2 months leading up to Christmas. And it is a passage that you have probably heard every year of your life that you have been old enough and been in church. And that passage is from Isaiah chapter 9, and I'm going to read verses 6 and 7. Because once again, there's a piece here. And what I'm wanting to show, the same thing we talked about with Joseph, with Moses, and briefly with Esther, that God works through people he puts in government. Isaiah 9:6 starts off this way. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Get this. And the government will be upon his shoulders. That's a key phrase in every aspect. The government will be upon his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Get this in verse 7. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment and justice from this time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Now, when we're at Christmas and we read this verse about the coming Messiah, probably one of the last things that we think of is government. We don't think about that. But soon as he says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, the next thing he goes into, why is this child born? Why is this son given? He is given so that the government can be on his shoulders. And then verse 7, and the increase of his government, there will be no end. You see, God is much more concerned about government than the average Christian thinks. God actually thinks in terms of government. The whole kingdom of God. Let me say that again. The whole kingdom of God. You see, as Christians, we generally think of church. Well, Jesus said, on this rock I will build my church. But just think about this, and depending on which translation you use, my numbers may be accurate or inaccurate, but they're accurate for the one that I looked it up in. In the Gospels, Jesus only used the word ecclesia twice. Two times. Now, depending on the translation, he used kingdom of God or kingdom of heaven anywhere from 120 to 140 some times, depending on the translation. Two compared to, let's say, 140. That's a big contrast. Jesus spent much more time talking about the kingdom. Matter of fact, when it discusses his ministry, it says he came preaching the kingdom of God. He declared, the kingdom of God has come near you. He told the disciples, he said, the kingdom of God is within you. He said, it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. You see, God thinks in terms of kingdom more than he thinks in terms of church. Now, let me explain that just a little bit. You see, the church, the purpose of the church is to expand the kingdom. The church is his ecclesia. On this rock, I'll build my ecclesia. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. To you, I'll give the keys of the kingdom. Down in verse 19, Matthew 16, 19. I'll give you the keys of the kingdom. Whatever you bind will be bound. Whatever you loose will be loosed. Whatever you allow will be allowed. Whatever you forbid will be forbidden. I've given you the keys of the kingdom. You can lock it up or you can unlock it. The ecclesia is God's representative in the earth for the kingdom of God. We're supposed to be representing the kingdom of God. What did Jesus say in Matthew 6:33? Did he say, but seek ye first the church, and all these things will be added unto you? Seek ye first building the church, and all these things will be added unto you. Now, he didn't say that. He didn't say that. See, the purpose of the church is the kingdom. Jesus in Matthew 6:33 said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. You see, when we understand that dynamic, we'll start figuring out our purpose. A lot of Christians have trouble figuring out their purpose and what they're here for. That's because we're looking at everything through the lens of the church rather than looking at it through the lens of the kingdom. And we're going to talk about, you know, here we're finishing up this second segment. In our third segment, we're going to start talking about what seeking the kingdom in this earth and being his representative means based on what he said. So stay with us through this break, and we'll be back.
Augusta Seed, your local Augusta County seed corn distributor since 1977. Producing more bushels per acre for a greater harvest. A time to plant and a time to harvest. Ecclesiastes 3:2. From your friends at Augusta Seed, buy local. Find them on the web at AugustaSeed.com.
You're listening to Ecclesia Principles with Ray Eppard, where we believe that all people are created equal and that liberty and justice is for all.
In talking about the kingdom of God, and again, let's go back to Isaiah 9:6, because there's a couple of key pieces in here. Because again, a big part of what we're pushing right now is the idea that God frequently brings freedom, victory, and deliverance to his people, a collective thing. This is not one individual, even though it can happen that way. It's much less frequent when it's an individual. But God's position, when you go through the Bible and you actually start looking for it, you will be astonished at how frequently that is the case. But we've heard separation of church and state, and we carry that mindset into reading the Bible, and so we just totally separate the governmental aspect from God. But God actually thinks in terms of government. Again, Isaiah 9:6 says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder." The government will be upon his shoulder. Now, there's something I want to kind of stop there and take a look at. Notice it says the government will be upon his shoulder. When you come over to the New Testament, we see the body of Christ. Jesus is the head, and we are the body. Now, let me ask you a question, and it's not a trick question. The shoulders, are the shoulders in the head, or are the shoulders in the body? Let me say that one more time so you can think about it. Because again, we don't think in the terms of government. The government will be upon his shoulders. Are the shoulders in the head, which would mean he's doing it, or are the shoulders in the body, which would mean we're to do it? So in other words, if God's government is going to be expressed in the earth, and it should be, because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, then his government is going to be expressed through his shoulders. Again, that's not the head. That's not the head. That's the shoulders. That's part of the body. You see, if you would, the body of Christ is supposed to be leading God's government in the earth. Let me put it another way, using the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. See, a kingdom is a form of government. Your kingdom come. Your government begin to be expressed on earth. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You see, in praying for the kingdom to come, what we're talking about is for God's government to be expressed in the earth, that his will, the will of his government, is expressed on earth even as it is in heaven. Now, that's what we're supposed to be praying for. That's what we're supposed to be working for, because the government is on his shoulders. The head is in heaven. We, the body, are in earth. Jesus in Matthew 28 said, "All power has been given unto me, both in heaven and in earth. Therefore, you go and make disciples of all nations." Now, let me paraphrase some of that for you, bringing in a little bit of a historical perspective to it as well. Jesus was saying, "All power has been given to me on heaven and on earth. I'm going to heaven. I'm going to manage the kingdom of God from the throne of God. I am going to be seated at the right hand of God, and I will be directing the affairs of the kingdom. You need to go into the earth. You need to go into the nations and teach the nations what my will is. You need to make disciples of them. You need to instruct them to function the way I am directing." Now, again, this is not a theocracy. It's not the church taking over government. It's people who are believers who are in the body having an influence. Let me put it to you this way. If all laws came up for a vote, I'm talking about all of them. I mean, most basic, most simple. Let's take the idea of stealing. Laws put up. What are we going to vote for on stealing? Do you vote, "Yeah, it's fine to steal"? Or do you vote, "Thou shalt not steal"? Which one do you vote for? Which one would be advancing the kingdom of God on earth, and which one would be advancing, let's call it, the gates of hell? Which one would be advancing which? See, and that's a very simple one. But you see, we are representatives of the kingdom of God. And we are supposed to be seeking first the kingdom of God. The kingdom is supposed to be first. What will advance the kingdom? What will cause the kingdom to be expressed on the earth the way that it is in heaven? See, that's our assignment. That is our purpose on this earth. You say, "Well, our purpose is to get people saved." Yes, that is a part of advancing the kingdom. Because if they're not born again, then the kingdom needs to advance in their life and them receive him. But once they have accepted him, that doesn't mean the job's done, over, and finished. There's more work to be done. The discipling of the nations. Jesus took his authority, ascended into heaven. He gave us authority in the earth, and we are to go into the nations to endeavor to cause his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven, and that is his kingdom coming. All of these are scriptures that we know, but we don't apply them in the way that they mean so frequently. Stay with us after this break, and we'll be right back.
Want to make a difference in your community? Check out cityelders.com or search City Elders Augusta County, Virginia. City Elders exist to influence government spiritually, politically, and economically so that life is protected, liberty is defended, Christ is exalted, and families can flourish. See about helping start a group in your area. You're listening to Ecclesia Principles with Ray Eppert, where we believe that all people are created equal and that liberty and justice is for all.
We're talking today about the fact that God frequently brings freedom, victory, and deliverance to his people through those in governmental positions, and that his plan has been for his people to have governmental influence. We read Isaiah 9:6, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders. Then in verse 7, it starts out, of the increase of his government. His government is the kingdom of God. And in the Lord's Prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, is God's government, God's governing to be expressed in the earth so that his will is done. Now, it goes on here. It says, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He wants to increase his government. He wants to increase his government. As we've talked about, he put Joseph in as prime minister of Egypt to accomplish his will. He put Moses in the halls of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, in order to position him and have him ready to bring deliverance to the children of Israel. Esther, she became queen of the kingdom of the Medes and Persians, did that so that God could bring deliverance to the children of Israel when their extinction was being threatened through Haman. All of those things, the increase of his government. If you would, God's plan is to infiltrate human government with his government, to put his government inside of civil government. Genesis chapter 9. God is the one that instituted civil government. When Noah came off the ark, and there he told him, because what the case was before the flood was there was no judgment. It was just God was the only one that judged. And if anybody, it was like Cain. He killed Abel, but God put a mark on him so nobody would mess with him. And that dynamic was in play during that whole time. But once Noah got off the ark, God changed the system. God changed it, and he said, whoever sheds man's blood, by man, he will be held to account. That he will be, his life will be required. And in the first part there, I think it was Genesis 9:6, he said, whoever sheds man's blood, I will require his blood of him. I will require. But then when he said how he would do that, the way he would do that, it was through human government, through what we call civil government. God wants to put people of his into civil government so that civil government is a reflection of his will on earth. Now, in Isaiah 9:6, it goes on after it says the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom. Now get this, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice. He mentions four things that he wants to accomplish. Number one, to establish it, to order it. That first two, to order it and to establish it. God is a God of order. I don't know about you, but in recent years, we've seen a lot of chaos, even in our own government. To order it and to establish it. Those are things that really ultimately provide peace if they're done right. And then notice the next two things, with judgment and justice. With judgment and justice. Now, those two things are supposed to be together, but they are separate. They're different. See, there is judgment. And when, I'll just throw this out, an area right now where there is judgment, but I do not believe there is justice, is when it comes to the area of politicians. Back when COVID first happened, in I think it was December of 2019. It may have been early 2020, but I think it was December or so of 2019 that members of the Senate and Congress were informed about the potential of a COVID-19 pandemic. A significant number of them went and changed their investments. Now, guess what? They happened to change their investments into something that would prosper during the pandemic. Now, you see, by law, they're not supposed to do that, but they did it. And I, you know, I'll throw one out by name, Nancy Pelosi. Well, quote, she didn't do anything, but her husband, he made changes within a couple days of that, but she didn't tell him anything. Even though all of his stuff matched up with the information, he didn't get any of that from her. She didn't tell him. They never discussed that. Well, you know, I was born at night, but it wasn't last night. And I just have problems with that. And there are things that, my personal opinion is, every member of the House and the Senate should be divested of all of their investments while they are in office, so that they don't know if they're helping themselves or if they're hurting themselves. Because at that point, I have yet to hear of any of them that suffered any consequences. Oh, it was brought out. If you would, there was a judgment. That's wrong. But there was no justice. There was nothing done with it. And there's a lot of areas in our world and in our country, even now, that justice is not being served because the judgments, the sentences, the determinations, the judgment that's being handed down isn't feeding justice. And you see, that's the reason that the body of Christ needs to be engaged in our world, because when it comes to the world, Jesus said, you're of your father the devil, and the works of your father you will do. You see, and unfortunately, enough Christians do this as well. I understand that dynamic. But God is calling us to be something better. God's calling us to be something better. You see, it shouldn't surprise us that the world pursues its own self-interest. But the body of Christ should get engaged and seek the benefit, blessing, judgment, and justice for all. That's where we need to be engaged. And if the shoulders stay connected to the head and follow the lead of the head, then this is what he will accomplish, and we have to submit to him in that. And with this, we encourage you to be a part of this. There's a lot of ground to cover. It might seem like I'm in la-la land that I even think some of this is possible. I understand that. But I know God, and I know what God can do if we will trust him. And he can do exceedingly and abundantly above all we ask or think. The biggest thing is that we align with him and we align with his word. And if we do that, God will do magnificent things, wonderful things. And I encourage you to come along with us.
You've been listening to Ecclesia Principles with Ray Eppard. Follow us on podbean.com. Also available on Facebook at Liberty Justice HQ and online at libertyjusticehq.com.